Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, spicing with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. And we are covering a massive UFC event this weekend. UFC London, coming to us live from London, England, goes down this weekend. And I'm going to be honest, I think we have a special start time. If I'm not thinking of this incorrectly, this card may be starting in the mid-afternoon to early afternoon, something like that. I'm very excited for this one. Leon Edwards versus Sean Brady is the main event. Should be looking to be a good card. So we're going to go through the entire card today and drop our official predictions for every fight. And I don't really have much other stuff to talk about. You know, I have some shows I'm going to be watching that I'll be doing reviews of. We got March Madness going on. We're going to be covering a lot of that next week. I'm actually swapped next week for school, which is kind of exciting, kind of stressful. I love the hustle. NBA and NHL, we're all caught up on. New UFC fights, we're all caught up on. We are pretty much all caught up on everything there is to be in the sporting world. So just on today's episode, we got our UFC London predictions. And if this card is as good as I hope it is, you should be in for a treat. So guys, lock in, get your books out, because we're going to be going through all the upset picks, everything, starting right now with our first prelim of the evening. Kicking things off, ladies and gentlemen, we are actually in the men's lightweight division for a heater. Heater of this. I can't believe this is the opening prelim. As Guram Kudaladze, the Georgian Viking, takes on Cal Fernandez. I mean, Guram, the first prelim of the evening. You know this is going to be a good fight card. 13 fights on this one. 13-4 record for Guram Kudaladze. 9-2 for Cal Fernandez. 5'11-5'9. Guram has 2 inches in height. 1 inch in reach for Cal Fernandez. 73 inches and 72. Orthodox stance for both of these gentlemen. Guram is the -425 favorite. Cal Fernandez +330. He's coming in as a nice little underdog. We'll start out with Guram Kudaladze, 33 years old, from Georgia, but now actually fights out of Sweden. Of his 13 wins, he has 8 finishes, 7 knockouts, and 1 sub. Of his 4 losses, he has been submitted once and knocked out once as well. 2-2 in the UFC so far. I mean, dude has just fought the toughest of the tough. Matheus Gamrot, Demiris Magulov, Elvis Brenner, and Jordan Vucevic. I mean, Guram just cannot catch a break. This is finally a fight where I think Guram can win and actually have a finish potentially. Because, I mean, the Matheus Gamrot fight, he won that, but everyone thought he lost. The Demiris Magulov fight, I think I gave that fight to him, so I was a little shocked when he lost that. The Elvis Brenner one, I mean, that was a crazy comeback for Elvis Brenner. And then Jordan Vucevic finally got back in the weight category, but that was a very competitive matchup. So happy to see Guram back in action. And Georgia, right by London, essentially. Closer than Brazil for Cal Fernandez, I'll tell you that. Cal, the +330 underdog, 30 years old from Brazil. 7 finishes in his 9 wins, 5 knockouts, and 2 subs. He was actually supposed to fight February 15th against Jared Gordon. That fight fell apart, so now he's finally back in action. He's 1-1 in the UFC. Lost a split decision to Mark Diakise in 2023. Was able to get a win last August, which was his last fight, where he got a round 1 TKO of Mohamed Yahya. So he's coming to this one an absolute dog, but there's no way I'm picking against Guram Kudaladze. Absolutely love him. He is someone who has so much potential, and it's a shame that he debuted in 2020, and now he's already 33, kind of starting to move past his prime. But if he can pick up a win here, that'll be 2 straight. I'm excited for him. Guram Kudaladze is who we're backing in this one. Next up, we head to the men's welterweight division. I want to say, is this one at lightweight? You know, I never know what division these boys fight at. It is bantamweight, actually, so I was completely off, as we have the debuting Nathan Fletcher. I think Nathan might already have a fight, but Nathan Fletcher takes on Kaolin the Don Lorraine. Love the nickname. Nathan Fletcher 9-1, Kaolin Lorraine 9-2. 5'7-5'6, Nathan has 1 inch in height, and he has 2 inches in reach, 70 inches to 68, orthodox stance for both of these gentlemen. -165, Nathan is the favorite right now. Kaolin the Don Lorraine, +140, is the underdog. Nathan Fletcher, 27 years old, from England, he's the hometown boy. 1 knockout and 7 subs give him 8 of 9 wins by finishes, and his 1 loss was by TKO. But I believe that was before he came on The Ultimate Fighter. I don't know for sure, but he debuted in September of 2024 and was able to submit Zygmantas Ramaska in round number 2. He is a grappler. That is his style. And hey, it's been working so far for him. Don't know much about him, but he's from England and he's making his UFC debut. or he's not making his UFC debut, but it feels like it's his UFC debut. I just want to kind of get that across for some reason. Colin Lorraine, his opponent, 28 years old, from Ireland. Ooh, 5 knockouts and 2 subs make up Colin Lorraine's 7 finishes and 9 wins, and he's 1-2 in the UFC. Lost to Taylor Lapalus, win over Angel Pacheco, and then a loss to Jake Hadley. So this will be make or break for the Don, and I absolutely love the nickname of the Don, and I think that is why I'm going to pick Colin Lorraine. There isn't really much going into it. And plus, Ireland compared to England, it's not much of a home crowd advantage for Nathan Fletcher. They'll probably cheer for him, but he's coming in off a win. I think Colin's going to stop him here. It's these prelims that usually get me. We went 7-6 on the last card, but I'm going to ride with the Don, Colin Lorraine, simply because his name is the Don. Who doesn't love the Don? What a dirty, dirty name, nickname that is. The Don, Colin Lorraine. After that, first women's matchup of the evening, and we're sticking with the Ireland train, as Shauna Mama B. Bannon takes on Pooja Cyclone Tomar. Shauna 6-1, Pooja 9-4, 5'5-5'4. Shauna has 1 inch in height and also 6 inches in reach. Wow, 6'5 inches of 59. Switch stance for Shauna Bannon, southpaw for Pooja Tomar. Shauna minus 185 is your favorite. Pooja plus 155 is the current underdog. But yes, Shauna Bannon, 31 years old, is also from Ireland, same country as Colin Lorraine. Of her 6 wins, she has 2 knockouts. She's gone 1-1 in the UFC, dropped a decision to Bruna Brazil in 2023, and picked up a win over Arlise Ardeline in July of last year. So, is coming off a win, outstruck her in that one. I'm pretty sure she's gotten like a picture with Conor McGregor, I'm pretty sure. Maybe she trains at the same gym as him. But these Ireland people, they're tough, they're gritty, and we'll see how she does as she's taking on the only Indian female fighter in Pooja Tomar, 31 years old, from India. 5-fight winning streak for her with a 9-4 professional record. She has 6 knockouts in those 9 wins, which is pretty impressive. And of her 4 losses, she has been submitted 3 times and knocked out once. So every time she's lost, she has been finished. Picked up a win over Rihanna Dos Santos in her debut. I can't lie, it wasn't that impressive. I actually thought Rihanna Dos Santos won. But hey, I get what they're trying to say, like, oh, Pooja's the first Indian woman to ever win. This is where that ends. We're riding with the Ireland train. And, you know, I got an Ireland flag in my room. I'm a little Irish myself from me grandma and grandpa's side. Or I guess my mother's side, I should say. My grandma and grandparents. That would be who the Irishness is from. But yes, Shauna Bannon. And hey, St. Patrick's Day just happened. I think we're celebrating St. Patrick's down here at college this week. You already know we're riding with the Irish. Give me Shauna Bannon over Pooja Tomar. And I'm going decisions so far for all these fights. But Guram Kulanze, I feel like he could maybe get a knockout. Maybe a little ground and pound TKO. I'm going to probably stick with the decision, but I just want to throw that out there. Keeping the prelims moving, we have Christian Leroy Duncan, CLD, taking on Andre Poliev. Ooh, Christian coming into this one for a middleweight bout, 10-2, Andre 9-2. 6'4-6'2, Poliev has 2 inches in height, 1 inch of reach goes to CLD, 79 inches to 78. Switch stance for Christian Leroy Duncan, southpaw for Andre Poliev. Christian, heavy favorite here, minus 670, might be the biggest favorite on the card. At plus 385, Andre is a big underdog. Christian, coming in, 29 years old, from England. Of his 10 wins, 9 finishes. Very impressive. He's got, where is it here? 8 knockouts and 1 submission. So, Christian, he's done decent so far in the UFC. I'll say that. He's gone 3-2, losses to Armin Petrosian, and most recently Gregory Rodriguez. And we know how good Gregory Rodriguez is. RoboCop, his fight of the night against Jared Cannonier speaks for itself. And he's also picked up some finishes around here. Knocked out Claudio Ribeiro, which has aged pretty good. Dennis Tallulin was an easy win for him. And he beat Dusko Trdovic as UFC debut. So all knockouts and all of his wins so far. And I would really love to ride with Andre Puliev. But I mean, there's just something about the fact that he's gotten knockouts in all of his wins so far. He's also fighting in his hometown of England. Maybe that will benefit him, but we'll have to see. Andre Puliev making his UFC debut, 27 years young, on a 5-fight win streak from, of course, Russia. 7 finishes in his 9 wins give him 5 knockouts and 2 subs, and of his 2 losses, he's only been knocked out once. He beat Liam Anderson using his striking on Dana White's Contender Series, and I don't know anything about him. Andre Puliev could be an absolute killer, but Christian Leroy, minus 670, fighting in his hometown of England. He's been getting better with age. I mean, you have to think, when he debuted in 2020, what was it, three? I mean, he was 26 years young and pretty green. Now looking where he's at now, I think he's gaining some experience, learning the ropes of MMA. I think he gets another knockout in this one. Christian Leroy Duncan in round number one to kind of get the place buzzing. I'll say that for certain. I think the place is going to be really buzzing with a knockout from here. And if, especially if I expect decisions so far, that is what the place will need. Next up, we have some ranked heavyweights in action. Always love to see ranked heavyweights. And we have the number 8 ranked Marcin Tybura taking on the number 13th ranked Mick Parkin. This one's very interesting. This one I'm very intrigued by, and we'll discuss that in a, actually just in a couple seconds. But Marcin Tybura, 26-9, Mick Parkin, 10-0, undefeated, 6'4", 6'3", Mick has 1 inch in height and 1 inch in reach, 79 inches and 78 orthodox stance for both of these gentlemen. Marcin Tybura -135, Mick Parkin +115. Pretty close so far for the odds, but there has been a curse so far this year of undefeated fighters losing left, right, and center. Just want to throw that out there when it comes to picking Marcin Tybura to win. So, or not Marcin Tybura, picking Mick Parkin to win. Marcin, 39 years old from Poland, 17 wins of his 26 have came by finish, 9 knockouts, 8 subs. Of his 9 losses, he's been finished 6 times, 5 by knockout, 1 by submission. Marcin, been with the UFC since 2016, going on year number 9. Man, he's fought in Tim Johnson. He's fought Andrei Arlovski, he's fought Fabricio Werdum, Derek Lewis, Stefan Struve, Augusto Sakai, Sergey Spivak multiple times, Alexander Volkov, Tom Aspinall, Ty Tuivasa. This man has fought so many people. He's gone win-loss over his last 4, and he's coming off a win over Renata Dinez in November, where he got a round 2 TKO due to exhaustion and a cut, I'm pretty sure. So, good stuff for Marcin Tybura. I usually never pick Marcin Tybura, but we're on this little streak now where I've actually been nailing my Marcin Tybura picks, so we'll have to see here. His opponent, Mick Parkin, the 29-year-old, is from England and has 7 finishes of his 10 wins, 6 knockouts, and 1 submissions. He's 4-0 in the UFC with 3 decisions, and most recently got a round 1 TKO of Lucas Brzezinski in July. So, coming in with some momentum, but look, he's just fought nowhere near the level that he's about to fight someone at. And the Jamal Pogues, the Kyle Machado, the Muhammad Usman, Lucas Brzezinski, they're such low-level people compared to Marcin Tybura. And I understand Marcin's 39. Marcin is past his prime, but he's still Derek Lewis level killer, okay? And I feel like he's going to go out, land a takedown, and potentially get a submission. And I'm actually going to pick Marcin Tybura to win. I just don't know with Mick Parkin. This will be his coming out. You know, if Mick Parkin can get past Marcin Tybura, I will have to restructure how I view him. But as of right now, I think this is too much of a jump for him. I would have really liked to have seen Mick Parkin take on a Shamil Gaziev, Waldo Cortez Acosta, maybe even a Ty Tuivasa, but Marcin Tybura, he's experienced, he's a veteran, so I'm going to keep my prediction with him. Marcin Tybura to win by round 2 submission. Ooh, throwing that one out there, really spicy. From the biggest weight class to the smallest weight class, we go down to the flyweights as we get Loner Kavanaugh. Ooh, Loner Kavanaugh, what a name. Takes on Felipe Dos Santos. Wonder what that means. Loner 8-0. Felipe Dos Santos 8-2 with 1 no contest. 5'7 to 5'4. Felipe has 3 inches in height on him and 3 inches in reach. 5'7 to 5'4 and 70 inches is 67. Orthodox stance for both of these gentlemen. Loner -375. Felipe +295. Loner Kavanaugh, 25 years old. He is, of course, from England. 4 knockouts and 1 subs give him 5 of 8 wins by finish. And he won his UFC debut in November. Took on Jose Ocha. Outstruck him 51-50. Good stuff. You know, and he also got a round 1 finish on Dana White's Contender Series last August. I mean, I just don't know much about the kid. All right, but we're following a trend this year. We're following a trend. I just want to throw it out there. This has been an awful year for undefeated fighters, and you really have to be someone special to win if you're undefeated this year. And as for Loner Kavanaugh, he's taking on a tough guy in Felipe Dos Santos. I just want to get that across the just out there. +295, he's a big underdog, but 24 years old. He's younger than him. 8-2 record is just 3 more fights. He has a no contest as well. 3 more fights of professional experience. 5 finishes as well. 2 knockouts, 3 subs. And how about for his debut? He had a fight of the night against Manel Cape. then takes on Victor Altamirano, gets taken down 9 times, yet manages to win, and then most recently dropped a decision to Andre Lima in September. So I just think Felipe has been fighting some tough SOBs, and as much as I would love to pick an English guy here in Loner Kavanaugh, I'm riding with what I know, and that is that undefeated fighters have not been doing good this year. Give me Felipe Dos Santos to win a decision. Heck, maybe even a round one TKO. Just from what I saw in that Manel Cape fight, he's an absolute dog. Had to get in some scrappy ones as well. And we just watched Andre Lima run through whoever he fought last weekend. Honestly, who was it? Was it Hernandez or someone? I don't know. Andre Lima ran through his opponent. He's probably getting a ranked opponent next up at this rate. So it just speaks to the level of people that Loner Felipe Dos Santos has been taking on. So if I'm Loner Kavanaugh, I would be a bit concerned. Just a tad bit concerned, because I think the undefeated streak of undefeated fighters losing is going to continue here. With that, we get into our final prelim of the evening, and it should be a very interesting one. In the men's, was it lightweight division, as Jai Black Country Banger Herbert takes on Chris Taco Padilla. Jai Herbert 13-5-1, Chris Padilla 15-6. 6'1" to 5'9" gives Jai a nice little height advantage as well, 3 inches in reach, 77-74. Orthodox stance for both of these gentlemen. Jai is currently -120. Chris is +100. Those odds have been razor close. The odds makers cannot seem to choose a favorite for this one. The Black Country Banger, Jai Herbert, is 36 years old from England. 10 finishes and 13 wins, 9 knockouts and 1 sub. Of his 5 losses, he has been finished 4 times, 3 by knockout, 1 by sub. So usually it's tough going for Jai Herbert. But let me just throw out some names of the opponents he's had to fight. Francisco Trinaldo, Renato Moicano, Ito Pura, who he almost knocked out, Ludwig Klein, Fares Ayam. This dude has fought no one but the toughest of the tough in the men's lightweight division, and even in the men's featherweight division. He's knocked out Kamal Worthy, gotten a decision over Kyle Nelson, and most recently in August, beat Rodolfo Bellotto to get a decision win, and is currently back in the win column. I think Jai Herbert is very, very talented. Now, at 36 years old, he is reaching those latter stages of his career in the lightweight division, but, you know, he's in England. He's bringing the energy, and all I'll remember him for is the fact that he almost knocked out Ito Pura with a head kick, which would have been the craziest thing to ever happen. His opponent, Chris Padilla, the underdog, but just barely, 29 years old from California, currently rides a 5-fight winning streak. Of his 15 wins, 13 finishes, 8 knockouts and 5 subs. Of his 6 losses, he's been submitted twice and knocked out once. But yes, been a while since Chris Padilla last lost. He's currently 2-0. And the UFC got a round one submission over James Lontop last April, and last time he won was in September, when he got a round two TKO doctor stoppage of Rong Zhu due to a cut. So Chris Padilla has come in like a bat out of you know what, just ready to take over, and right now on a win streak, 2-0 in the UFC, 2 finishes, might I add. He's coming in with some momentum, but I would be kicking myself if I didn't pick my boy Jai Herbert. He's not really my boy. I want to say that, but nonetheless, Jai Herbert is exciting. He's fun to ride with, and I think he's going to get done. Now, to what extent? I don't know. I'm feeling a knockout. I feel like he is due to get a knockout. In my opinion, Jai Herbert is due to get knocked. And he's got the size. He's got the reach, especially, and it's just going to work together. I'm not trying to knock the skill level that Chris Padilla has been fighting at, but I just do not think it is at the level that you're seeing from, especially, Jai Herbert, from the people that he's been fighting. So, Jai Herbert over Chris Padilla, that is my prediction. And with that, those are all of our prelim predictions. Prelims are pretty good. Prelims are pretty good. Sometimes you get some bad prelims, but I think this one is loaded with enough talent to suffice for our audience that will be watching, which I believe it starts at 2 p.m. I don't know for sure. Do not quote me on that. But getting into the main card, guys, I mean, this is a fantastic main card, and we are treated to an absolute banger in the men's featherweight division. Nathaniel the Prospect Wood takes on the last pirate, Morgan Sharee, +160 and -190. Morgan is slightly the favorite, but he is slowly rising. Nathaniel Wood, 20-6 professional record. Morgan Sharee, 20-10-1. But don't be mistaken, of those 10 losses, dude, there's a lot of decisions, and there's a lot of top names he has lost to. 5'8 to 5'6, Morgan has 2 inches in height, 69-inch reach, and an orthodox stance make this just such an even matchup. It is just so even, and I'm so excited to watch it. Nathaniel Wood, 31 years old, from England, 13 wins of his 20 have came by finish, 7 knockouts and 6 subs. Of his 6 losses, he has been finished 4 times, 2 by knockout, 2 by submission. So far, in the UFC, I mean, pretty freaking good. 8-3 record for Nathaniel Wood, coming off a big win over Daniel Pineda in July. Before that, dropped a decision to Muhammad Naimov. But I mean, this dude's beaten Charles Jourdain, Andre Feely, John Castaneda. Just been picking up some good wins. Hasn't gotten a finish, though, since 2019, so that is long overdue. But Nathaniel Wood, he is one of the toughest featherweights out there. Since moving up to bantamweight, he's gone 4-1, and honestly, he's really, really talented. I'll tell you that. The kicks, the punches, he's very technical. The combos he throws up, this should be a good fight. Morgan Cherie, 29 years young, from France, 12 knockouts and 3 subs give him 15 of 20 wins by finish. And of his 10 losses, he's only ever been finished once by submission, which was a long time ago. 2-1 in the UFC with 2 knockouts and a fight of the night, which everyone was debating on who won, against Chepe Mariscal. And if we all just watched Chepe Mariscal get a knockout not a couple weeks ago, we all know how much of a dog he is. Morgan Cherie, I absolutely love. I mean, when I look at a guy who could go into the featherweight rankings and pick up some wins, I mean, him against Dan Ige, I'm picking him. Him against Calvin Kattar. Him against Bryce Mitchell. Him against Yusuf Zal. Him against Giga Chikadze. It's when we get into the Leroy Murphys, Josh Emmett's, Aljamain Sterling, Arnold Allens, I start to go, that might be too high for him. I think Morgan Cherie is super talented, and this is the exact type of name he needs to get into the UFC ranking. So give me Morgan Cherie, and Nathaniel Wood doesn't strike me as a guy to get finished. I think this could even be fight of the night material. So I'm going back Morgan Cherie. We're going to go with a decision, but if we could get a finish here, that would be even better. I would be so pumped for that. And speaking of finishes, I will be very surprised if this lightweight matchup goes the distance, as Jordan the Epidemic Vucevic back in action. Is it Vukenvic? V-U-C-E-N-I-C, Vucenic? Vucenic's got to be it. Jordan Vucenic is what I'm going to go with. Takes on Chris the Problem Duncan. And Chris, plus 275, is the underdog at minus 345. Jordan, a nice-sized favorite. Jordan, 13-3. Chris, 12-2. Both men are 5'10". 2 inches a night for Jordan, 73-71. And orthodox stance for both these gentlemen. They are very even. Very, very, very even. I'll say that right out of the gate. It's these two are going to be going at it right off the bat. Jordan Vucenic, 29 years old, from England, 8 finishes and 13 wins, 2 knockouts and 6 subs, and of his 3 losses, he's never been finished. Stepped in on short notice against Guram Kuladze, as we had mentioned, lost that decision, but looked good in that. Even dropped Guram in round 1, 2, or 3. One of the rounds, he dropped him at some point in the fight. But yeah. Jordan, you may know him, but he's a lot of tattoos. Tattoos on his neck, his blackout tattoos, tattoos on his face. The dude has a look, and the dude knows how to fight. And 13-3, he's pretty good. Don't judge him for the loss to Guram Kuladze. Short notice against a guy like Guram, that is a tough ask of anyone. And Jordan, he was a champion, and I want to say it was Cage Warriors. He was a champion, the same promotion that Paddy Pimblett came from. I want to say that's where he was fighting, but I mean, this dude is a killer, and he's really looking to bring it in this one. Leans on the grappling, though, if you can tell from the submissions. His opponent, Chris Duncan, 31 years old, from Scotland. 7 knockouts and 2 subs give him 10 of 12 wins by finish. Very good to see. Been with the UFC since 2023, went 1-1 on David's Contreras series. His knockout and him getting knocked out are both just great clips. And then, of course, 2 decisions to start his UFC career, got submitted by Manuel Torres. But then in September, submitted Balaji Oki in round number 1, showed just the levels there are to MMA. And Chris is going to bring it in this one. But I'm not picking against Jordan Vucenic. I'm riding with him. But don't sleep on Chris Duncan. That dude gets a hold of your neck, you may be going out. And it's just a matter for these two if they're going to mix in the grappling, mix in the striking. It all comes down to the options that they're going to go with. But in my mind, Jordan's more well-rounded. And I don't know about knockout, but I am going to go with a round 2 submission. Maybe even round 1 for Jordan Vucenic. I just never know how fast he's going to start. He's got a full training camp compared to the Guram fight. We'll have to see. Final lady fight of the evening, and it is everyone's favorite meatball Molly McCann back in action as she takes on the debuting Alexia Burgosinha Thainera. What a What a name right there. Molly McCann plus 150 is the underdog. Alexia is the favorite at minus 215. Molly 14-7. Alexia 11-1. Both women are 5'4". 5 inches in reach for Alexia, 67-62. Orthodox stance for both of them. Pretty even overall besides that 5 inches in reach. We'll start off with the hometown favorite, Molly McCann, 34 years old, from, of course, England. The crowd loves her. 6 knockouts and 1 sub give her a 50% finish rate. And of her 7 losses, she's been submitted 3 times. She was supposed to take on Estella Nunes. Instead, she gets a very tough opponent in Alexia Thynarum. Molly McCann, been with the UFC since 2018. You know, it's been tough going. It's been tough going for her. 7-6 in the UFC. This could be make or break. I kid you not. For Molly McCann, 34, she is going to need a win here. Really is going to need a win. No, she's been submitted in her debut, wins 3 decisions, drops 2 decisions, goes on a crazy 3-fight run, fight of the night, 2 spinning back elbows, knockouts, which were crazy. And the one over Luis Carolina is my favorite out of those two. Then has to take on Aaron Blanchfield, who's a top level person. Then fights bottom of the barrel Jelija Stroylenko and loses embarrassing. Then bounces back with a win over Diana Belbita, but last time she fought in July, which was the last time we were in London, dropped a decision to Bruna Brazil. But I do want to add, Bruna Brazil is very talented. Bruna Brazil holds wins over Shauna Bannon and Molly McCann on this card. So I do want to add that in there. But it's just tough for Molly. You know, watching how successful Patty Pimblett is, he's getting a co-main event on a pay-per-view against Michael Chandler. And then seeing where she's at, I'm sure it kind of hurts for her. But she knows her place. Title shots are not in the future. And if she wants to stay in the UFC, she's probably going to have to win. Her opponent, make her UFC debut, Alexia Thynarum, coming from Damas Xerxes series. 7 years younger at 27 years old. She is from Brazil. After starting her MMA career 2-1. And losing, she has since gone on a 9-fight winning streak. Out of that, 7 finishes, 1 knockout, 6 subs. Her 1 loss was by submission, by the way. Won her UFC Damas Casera series contract by beating Rose Conerco. Outstruck her 101-46 significantly. Landed 3 takedowns and even threw up a submission. Little do you all know, I think this is the similar thing, in fact, on an even bigger level, in terms of Mick Parkin versus Marcin Tybura. I think Alexia Thynarum is 11-1, you know, 9-fight win streak, getting 7 finishes. She has fought nowhere near the level of Molly McCann. Molly McCann is in London. Her coaches have had to have told her this is make or break for your time here in the UFC, and I'm hoping she listens. I'm hoping she hears her. And with only a plus 150 underdog, we're going with Molly McCann. I mean, this is also short notice for Alexa. I think Alexa throws all she can at Molly in round one. Molly survives. Round two, knockout or submission. I like both of them personally. We've seen Molly's hands. We even know she got an armbar in her last win last year. We know she can do both. I think the meatball rolls into some spaghetti to win. And there really isn't a meatball reference I can think of. It's going to be rated. It's going to be cloudy for Alexa with all the meatballs falling. Cloudy with a chance of meatballs reference. Who knows if anyone got it. All right, from the women to the men's welterweight division gives us the final 3 fights. Fantastic. Pleasure for the audience to watch. Welterweight division, Gunnar Gunn Nelson at minus 150 takes on the trailblazer, Kevin Holland, at plus 125 in the underdog spot. Nothing new for Kevin. He's used to that. Gunnar Nelson, 19-5-1. Kevin Holland, 26-13 with 1 no contest. 6'3" to 5'11". Kevin has 4 inches in height and a crazy 8 inches. Pardon, 9 inches in reach. Gunner's got some short arms, or maybe Kevin has some long ones. Gunner has a switch stance. Kevin fights in the orthodox fighting style. I mean, wow. I did not realize Kevin had such a big reach. Gunnar Nelson, 36 years old from Iceland. 17 finishes of his 19 wins, 3 knockouts, and 14 subs. Of his 6 losses, he's only ever been knocked out once. Been with the UFC for over a decade, joined in 2012, and honestly was really on a good run for a while. It wasn't until he ran into Damian Maia in 2015 he started to realize there were levels to this. Eventually got knocked out by Santiago Ponzinibbio in 2017. Obviously, pre-COVID, he was on a 2-fight losing streak, but those losses, Leon Edwards and Gilbert Burns, who couldn't finish him. Came back in 2022, picked up a win over Takashi Soto, then fought in March of 2023 against Brian Barberina, submitted him with 9 seconds left in round number one, then took a 2-year hiatus. You know, I don't know what happened to Gunnar Nelson. 2 years off will do damage no matter what. I understand he took 3 years off between 2019 and 2022. You can't use COVID. COVID is such a special case, but I just don't know if he's going to come back with the same intensity. Mind you, I mean, he's 36. He's getting up there in age, taking that time off. His chin may be vulnerable. Just want to throw that out there. Especially when you take on everyone's favorite fighter, your favorite fighter's potential favorite fighter in Kevin Holland. And talk about make or break at 1-4 in his last 5, 2-fight losing streak. Kevin's going to need something big here. All right, Kevin, 32 years old from Texas, 22 finishes of his 26 wins, just incredible, 13 knockouts, 9 subs. Of his 13 losses, he has been knocked out twice and submitted 4 times. But the one thing I want to add, Kevin Holland is the most active UFC fighter. I mean, can I get it? Since his UFC debut, he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 fights. 24 fights in 6 years. Yeah, he that tells you all you need to know. This guy is as active as can be. And by the way, he already fought in January. Okay, and I do want to add, he's 1-4. Let me tell you these losses. Split decision to Jack Della Maddalena, who is supposed to be in the main event and is currently fighting for the championship. Close decision to Michael Venom Page, who Venom Page, after watching him beat Shara, Kevin Holland made him look kind of silly. Of course, submitted Michael Okojasek last year, ran to Roman Dolidze, got hurt in round one due to grappling. Do you want to add that? And then took on Rainer Day Ritter this year. And as we all know, Kevin Holland cannot grapple. All Rainer Day Ritter does is grapple. Went right for the takedown. Got it. Locked up a submission. By the way, Rainer Day Ritter was a double champion in 1FC. Not 1FC, 1 championship. And is taking on, Bo Nickel, May 3rd in Des Moines in the co-main event. So he's only lost to the top guys. Let me throw out some other names he's lost to. Wonderboy Thompson, Khamzat Chimaev, Derek Brunson, Marvin Vettori, Brendan Allen, Thiago Santos. Look, Kevin Holland eats guys like Gunnar Nelson for breakfast. Let me just say that right off the bat. So Kevin Holland is going to knock out Gunnar Nelson, going to get back in the win category. He knows his role. He has said to himself, I'm not going to be a world champion, but I'm here to make money. I'm here to entertain the fans, and I'm here to get finishes. That's why we love you, Kevin. Rain, sun, or whatever you want to call it. We're riding with you, Kevin. We're riding with you. I hope he wins. If he loses, he might get cut, which he doesn't deserve to get cut, but it's going to get to a point with Kevin Oliver. It's going to be hard to justify keeping him. I do hope he is a very good company guy. I hope he has a good connection with Dana White, so I hope we don't cut him, but Kevin Oliver, fingers crossed, he gets the knockout win. I'll be rooting for him. Now we get into our co-main event, which I would love to be 5 rounds, and I've been thinking about this fight. This is my main event right here. Okay, I don't want to lie. Leon Edwards, Sean Brady is what it is. That's going 5 rounds. This one I don't know. The co-main event, light heavyweight division, you have the number 3 ranked, the former champion, Jan Blachowicz, returning after 2 years to take on the number 6 ranked, Carlos Ulberg, and this is just going to be beautiful. The Blackjack, Carlos Ulberg, back in action. Jan Blachowicz, 29-10-1. Wow. Wow, he's getting into over 40 professional fights. Carlos Ulberg, 12-1, 6'4-6'2". Carlos has 2 inches on him. 78 inches compared to 77 inches for reach. Jan just has 1 inch more. Orthodox stance with the right hand for both of these gentlemen. Jan, plus 185. Carlos Ulberg, minus 225. Kind of surprised he's closing as a favorite in this one. Like I said, Jan is ranked number 3. Carlos, number 6. These high-ranked light heavyweight matchups are always so entertaining. We'll start with Jan Blachowicz, 42 years old from Poland. Love seeing him. Of his 29 wins, he's gotten 18 finishes, 9 knockouts, 9 subs. Whichever way he's got to do you, he'll do it. Of his 10 losses, he's been knocked out twice and submitted twice. And mind you, he hasn't fought in since Alex Barrera, 2023. But I do want to add is that he had a fight booked against Rakic in January of 2024, and he unfortunately had to pull out of that due to injury. But now he's here, and I just can't lie, you know, going from 39 years old to 42 years old, it just does its toll, so we'll see how Jan Blachowicz looks in this one, but we know how good he is. This was a guy who at one point was 2-4 in the UFC, was about to get cut, then went on a 4-fight winning streak, lost to Thiago Santos, went on a 5-fight win streak, which included a knockout win of Dominic Reyes and beating Israel Adesanya. Crazy, ran to Glover Teixeira, then actually beat Alexander Rakic, and then his last 2 fights, split draw against Magomed Ankalaev, and a split decision against Alex Barrera, where some people even argue Jan Blachowicz won. So literally the last 3 guys he's lost to. So he's 1-2 with a draw, okay? And basically, he did lose that Magomed Ankalaev fight. I think we all agree he dropped that decision. They've been the last three champions of the men's light heavyweight division. We're not counting Jamal Hill in here. Get him out of there. So, absolutely love this. Helmblowicz is a killer. And been a while since he's gotten a finish. You know, Dominic Reyes was 5 years ago now, weird to think about. But dude's an absolute dog. Great family man. He's basically able to retire his daughter, send his daughter to college. He's made so much money. Helmblowicz just has to decide, you know, can I get past the young gun in the 34-year-old Carlos Ulbrich? Which is weird to say he's a young gun, but I mean, when you're 8 years younger, that would make you a young gun. From New Zealand on a 7-fight winning streak, which includes 5 finishes. Carlos Ulbrich coming in with a lot of momentum. Out of his 12 wins, 8 finishes, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. Dude lost his UFC debut. Dude lost his UFC debut in a fight of the night to Kedi and Chukani and has not lost since. Decision over Fabio Schurrent. Round 1 knockout of Tafon and Chukani. Round 1 knockout of Nicolai Negro-Moreno. Round 1 knockout of Ayo Portero. Round 3 submission of Dawoon Jung, which is very scary because the ref didn't see him tap and he kept the choke in. Very freaky. How about a 12-second knockout of Alonzo Menafield in the biggest win of his career? He outboxed Volkan Ozdemir by 2 to get this rank spot at number 6. So, Carlos Ulbrich moving up the rankings, and he's done everything right. I think that's the thing that perplexes me, is that Carlos Ulbrich has done everything right. He's worked his way up the ladder, beaten people of, you know, level competition. Being ranked number 6, you know, the only guys above him, Rakic, Hill, Blachowicz, Prochazka, Pereira, and Magomed Ankalaev, this matchup makes sense. You know, I would have preferred, he had a fight booked with Jamal Hill for the summer. I would have preferred that to this, but what you gonna do? What you gonna do? 7-fight winning streak. It just makes sense. He gets Jan Blachowicz. And similar to Gunnar Nelson, you know, I'm gonna go with Carlos Ulbrich to win this, but I think it's gonna be similar to that Volkan Ozdemir fight. Carlos is going to use some cheeky boxing from the outside. He's going to stuff some takedowns from Jan Blachowicz, maybe even land one of his own. But I just think, 42 years old, it is best for business if Jan Blachowicz wins. And obviously, I understand it's never best for business, but it, like for whoever wins, it doesn't matter, unlike the WWE. But, you know, if Jan wins, we're going to get this weird thing where Alex Pereira and Magomed Ankalaev are going to rematch. If Alex wins, you then have a trilogy to do there. You then are either going to have Jan versus Jiří, or maybe even Jan gets a title shot. I don't know what's going to happen, but I just think it would be better if we get some fresh blood with Carlos Ulbrich in. You could even have Jan Blachowicz retire, but he's 42. He's 42. He's old. He's old for the UFC. So we're going to go with Carlos Ulbrich, using his distant boxing, using his power. A finish is not really in the cards in my mind, but look what Alex Pereira did. Stuff the takedowns, box from outside. Or you can do the Magomed Ankalaev route and out-grapple him. You know, we've seen 2 different ways to beat Jan Blachowicz. Glover Teixeira really used the grappling to beat him. Should be entertaining nonetheless, but that is your main card predictions as of right now. You know, I'm excited for this one. I'm excited for this main card. It is looking good. Morgan Schrie, Jordan Vucenic, Molly McCann, Kevin Holland, Carlos Ulbrich. I'll be rooting for all of them. Those are all fantastic fights. You know, prelims, I'm not too invested in, but this main card, I am definitely going to be watching for certain. But with that, ladies and gentlemen, it's time! That's right, for the main event, Leon Edwards and Sean Brady. And by the way, Leon Edwards, if you didn't know, the number 12 pound-for-pound fighter on the planet. He's currently ranked number 1 in the men's welterweight division. Sean Brady, ranked number 5. Just a little fun fact for you right there. Leon Rocky Edwards, plus 130, is the former men's welterweight champion. He is the underdog at minus 155. Sean Brady, he's the favorite. How about that? Leon, 22-4 with 1 no contest. Sean Brady, 17-1. 6'2 to 5'10. You get 4 inches in height for Leon Edwards. That's pretty notable. 74 inches in reach compared to 72. Leon has the edge there. Southpaw stance with Leon, orthodox for Sean Brady. Leon Edwards, 33 years old, from England, of course. 10 finishes and 22 wins. I mean, 7 knockouts, 3 subs. This dude is a decision merchant. He's never been finished in his 4 losses, which is pretty impressive. And as we all know, he was supposed to fight Jack Della Maddalena. Unfortunately, Shavkat got injured. They gave Jack Della Maddalena the title shot. We'll see how that goes, but good for Leon Edwards in this one, at least remaining on the card, as he gets Sean Brady. Sean Brady, the favorite, 32 years old from Pennsylvania, 3 knockouts and 5 subs make up his 17 wins. So, yeah, both these guys love to go the distance. That's why, you know, Carlos Uber Kamalovich could go the distance. I think a finish could happen there, save for pretty much all of our main card fights. But as for this one, if there's a finish in this one, I would go crazy. I'm just expecting a 5-round decision. We'll start with Leon here. Been with the UFC for a decade now. Actually, over a decade. Came around in 2014. And mind you, this dude has been on an incredible run so far. Only guys that beat him, Kamaru Usman and Bilal Muhammad. And that Bilal Muhammad fight, it was embarrassing. Okay, it was embarrassing. He got out-grappled. He got out-struck. And he was just humbled. And, you know, it was kind of weird where, you know, Leon wins round 3 after blatantly dropping the first 2, then gets dominated round 4, then is losing round 5, reverses it, and basically causes the most damage of the fight to Bilal in the final 30 seconds of the fight. So, Leon just hasn't had a killer instinct. And, you know, the only time he's really gotten lucky is with his knockout of Kamaru Usman and just the relentless ground and pound he had of Peter Sabato, where the ref was finally like, okay, there's just enough of this. Same with his submission win back in 2016. I mean, Leon just goes the distance. He really does. And this is going to be the youngest person that he's fought at 32 years old in a long time. Leon's been fighting Nate Diaz, Bilal, Kamaru, Colby Covington, Rafael Dos Anjos. He's been fighting these older guys. It's about time he gets someone of younger age. Sean Brady, you know, lost his first ever professional fight to Bilal Muhammad. Got TKO'd. You never want to be finished by Bilal Muhammad, but I mean, other than that, pretty stellar. 6-1 in the UFC. Actually, 7-1. I didn't even realize that. 7-1 in the UFC. Didn't even come off of Damus Quintero series. Holds wins over Jake Matthews, Michael Chiesa, Kelvin Gastelum, and most recently, Gilbert Burns, who he dominated over 5 rounds, 50-45 to him. So clearly we know he's ready. Here's the thing about this. Sean Brady is a pure grappler. Pure grappler over his last 2 wins, 12 takedowns. Okay, we sprinkled in his win over Michael Chiesa. We're now up to 17 takedowns. And I mean, you go through all his UFC fights, almost 30 takedowns through those 7 wins. So, and so it's going to be interesting to see if Leon Edwards can defend the takedowns. That's the reason I'm picking Sean Brady, is I think he is going to land those takedowns. And as for Leon, I just think we're done. We're done. And he's already talking. Leon was already saying, once I win, I'm getting another title shot. No one wants that. I don't care about deserved. No one wants to see that again. We saw Leon Edwards versus Bilal Muhammad, the rematch, all right? We do not need to see it a third freaking time. Now, as for Sean Brady, if he wins this, I think he's in a great position to get a title shot. I mean, this is really giving me Israel Adesanya vibes. I'm just saying, so maybe Sean Brady gets a finish in round 2. If he gets a round 2 finish, that would be fantastic. But we've already watched Adesanya drop from 1-4 this year. Sean Brady's at 5, Jack Del Maddalena's at 4, Leon's at 1. I mean, it's just even perfect that Sean Brady gets the win here using his grappling and takes over. So my prediction, Sean Brady gets a round 2 submission following in the footsteps of Nasrin Imavov against Israel Adesanya, or he goes the full distance, which I think everyone is suspected. I would love to see the odds for this to end within the distance. It's got to be like plus 500, plus 700, something ridiculous, but that's your main event prediction, boys, and I think it should be a good main event. I would expect some high-level fighting, so don't expect action, but expect technicalities, okay? And plus, you get a crowd. The crowd always helps, even when the fights are boring. But other than that, I mean, come on. This is a fantastic London card. It is going to deliver on every aspect, and by the way, whoever wins this, I don't think you're getting a title shot. I think you're going to have to wait, but I do think they're going to be in a good opportunity coming into the latter part of the year. But that's all we got, ladies and gentlemen, for our UFC London predictions. It was a fun time. Fun time covering the card, going over everything. Guys, get your locks in. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about next week on the Surprise Jab Podcast. But as for now, I'm signing off. I wish you adieu. I send my love. And as always, I'll catch you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.